listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 257 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show, and on this episode, we're going to have part two of our live stream success stories, and the artist is Henry Invisible. Henry's artist path is very different than what we heard from Don Byers on the last episode, so I think you're really going to enjoy a different take on how he's using live streaming as a part of his artistic expression and where it's led him during this time of coronavirus and the pandemic. It's even led to corporate gigs, doing corporate gigs that are Zoom parties, real Zoom parties where you play as the guest artist. It's very interesting, and lots of opportunities that are opening up for artists in these areas, and you'll hear how Henry got to that place. And those of you that were at the 2019 DIY Musician Conference in Austin, Henry was the one who won the grand prize at the end of it all and did this very ceremonious walk down the aisle from the back of the room, videoing it all, and he won the prize package. And a lot of that gear he's using in his live streams. And so it's good to catch up with Henry and see how he's doing. And speaking of the DIY Musician Conference, I have some sad news. We just officially announced that we are canceling the DIY Musician Conference for 2020 that was scheduled to happen August 28th through 30th in Austin, Texas. We are moving it back to August 27th through 29th in 2021. So if you had a ticket for this year's conference, you should have received an email from us. We automatically refunded everybody. The hotel will automatically cancel your hotel room and refund any money that was paid. If you were scheduled to speak, you should have received an email from us as well. I know many of you were looking forward to it. I was as well. It's one of the highlights of my year. But as it started getting closer and closer, it just became an impossible task to even plan an event, not knowing how many people can be in the room, who can come. Will anyone show up? Will anyone want to travel and be in rooms in large groups together? So we thought it was just best, in order to do the conference and give attendees the experience that we want them to have, for us to cancel this year and just start planning for 2021. So I just wanted to make sure you had that information as soon as possible. And I'm sure Chris and I will talk a little bit more about it on the next episode of the podcast. You can find more information about that at the conference website, DIYMusicianCon.com. And with that said, let's move to happier topics and get into my interview with Henry Invisible and talk about the success he's having with live streaming and taking advantage of the opportunities that are out there right now. All right, well, joining me is Henry Invisible. Henry, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Thank you very much for having me.
For those of you that were at the DIY Musician Conference in Austin in 2019, Henry somehow pulled off the most impressive walk down the aisle to accept his winning of the grand prize. He was... This had to have been staged. I don't know how you were like already back there with the camera running when I read your name and you come walking down the aisle, and then I saw you won another prize recently for doing live streams.
Well, you know, about the DIY Musician Conference, I was sitting in the very back row just in case they didn't call my name, I could just duck out. I was already running kind of behind a little bit. I think I had a performance that evening, and then but I had the camera going just in case. I still can't believe it. That was so awesome, man. Thanks for calling my name.
Well, and I loved the logo of the shirt you gave me. I thought that was a really cool idea.
Sweet.
So as we dive in here, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your music, what you've been doing, and where you're from, and then we'll start talking about all the live streaming stuff.
Right on. Yeah. So my name is Henry Roland. I go by Henry Invisible. Previously Henry and the Invisibles with the plus sign, Henry plus the Invisibles. I'm a one-man funk band, and a multi-instrumentalist producer. Do a lot of home production straight out of my home studio, but I play the bass, the guitar, the keys, the drums, percussion. I do vocals, write vocals. And, you know, this whole streaming thing started, obviously, I started actually last year doing some live streams, and then with the whole lockdown and everything, I've polished up my act on the streaming end. And one thing that recently happened, or a few things that are pretty major in my life, is I'm going to be releasing music under Bootzilla Records. So Bootsy Collins found me on Instagram, and since I'm a funk guy and everything, well, I flew out to, or actually I drove out to Anaheim, California for the NAMM Fest. And while I was there, I auditioned for Bootzilla Records. And so going to be doing some releases under his label. And I recently got married on March 7th, right before the lockdown. It was the last big thrasher that I went to. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. I saw your photos online. I was like, wow, he got in just under the wire, because I know it was like the next few days people started canceling everything.
Oh, man. It was such, yeah, tragic. But yeah, you know, sticking in there like everybody else, and staying super busy, actually, with the love stream. That's my live stream. You know, I've been doing it on a nightly, and been picking up lots of fans, and also the eyes and ears of other promoters that are doing online events. So, like, I've got a happy hour this evening. I had one yesterday. Staying super busy with gigs, even though, and you know, let's hope this all opens up so we can get back to normal. But, like, yeah.
Yeah. So you're in Austin, Texas, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
I've seen your live streams a bunch. I've seen you on Facebook. Since you're a one-man band, what was your live show normally like, and how have you taken that and transitioned more into Facebook Live, and how you interact, and just, you know, since you're a one-man band, it's kind of, you know, doing, you're not a singer-songwriter, you're like doing funk music, you're doing something that's more energetic. How was that experience in the real setting, the real world live setting? And then what did you do on Facebook to kind of bring that over?
Well, yeah. So, like, as the one man band, basically what I've created over the last couple of years, I've been doing this for about a decade. And before this I was in, quote unquote, real bands, you know, like I was in a 13 piece funk band. And I was also in a rock and roll trio, and I was several jazz outfits, and, you know, just kind of playing around a lot while I lived in New York. But anyways, as the one man band, I've created what I call the spaceship, and it's got like my keyboard, it's got my drum machine, it's got my percussion unit, with a kick pedal and my bass and guitar, and everything's routed and mixed, through a mixer. And, you know, I'm looping. I used to use a foot pedal looper, but now I go straight through Native Instruments machine. And so there's a lot that you can do as far as looping nowadays with the technology that we have. But to answer your question, though, we were hitting the festival scene. So, you know, performing in front of lots of people with a lot of energy and a lot of dance music, into what's happening now, where basically the energy that I feel is like when people smash the heart button or they're commenting. And how it's transitioned for me is I kind of have this similar setup. I'm sitting like right in the middle on a drum throne surrounded by instruments. I'll shoot you over a picture too. Well, I guess you've seen it on the...
Yeah, but you can send me a picture. That way I can we can use it with the podcast.
Cool. Yeah, and so I've positioned myself well where I can grab the instruments freely, and it's kind of like, you know, paintbrushes, you know, or choosing paints. And sometimes I'll hear the percussion, I'll grab that, and sometimes the bass or whatever. But yeah, I mean, as far as energy goes, you know, it's just crazy that this is where we're at now. But on a tag note, and we could talk about it a little later, I think what's happening with Facebook now is, you know, how they're kind of copying Zoom software, and where you can see several windows of people. That's going to be a very unique way to do live shows, which I'm already getting into. I've done a few of them. So now you can see people moving and dancing and grooving. So that is probably the closest that you're going to get to the live experience for a minute, you know?
What feature is that? I don't think I've seen that in a live stream yet.
Okay, so Zoom software, are you familiar with the Zoom software?
Yeah, oh yeah, okay. Oh yeah. Every day. Well, their business version is called Ring Central, and we do all our meetings at work over it. So I'm very familiar with the Zoom software.
Right on. So like I've been doing happy hours through their Zoom software, and up to, I think the largest party I've done so far is like 75 people. And it's been really cool. There are some settings in there for musicians that you must be aware of to make it sound good, but it's not difficult to get to. And that sort of energy has been amazing. I mean, it's kind of reminded me of what it was like to perform in front of an audience, you know?
So you said that Facebook's adopting some of that. So is Facebook allowing multi-window with the audience?
I saw a commercial through their Messenger app, and I've been invited to a few of them, but I'm always like in my pajamas or something when people are calling on me and stuff, or something like it's bad timing. Like I think that this could be done a little bit more strategic as far as planning an event. But it looks like Facebook has adopted the multi-camera thing. So
I'll have to be on the lookout for that. I haven't seen that yet, but they may. I'm sure they're trying to test things and roll things out as quickly as possible, because if they're going to make a move in this area, this is their moment. So
yeah, and you know, another thing to consider too is that, you know, when things do open up, I truly doubt that it's just going to bounce back. And so, you know, a lot of this stuff is really good for future shows. You know, in fact, I plan on, I just started kind of a streaming business where I'm, you know, having consultations with musicians and small businesses and stuff to help them, because, you know, we don't know if we're going to get into this again. Let's hope not. But regardless, you know, it's just good stuff to know. It's going to change a lot of things. I mean, wouldn't you say, like, you know, my wife used to fly across the country she's a mathematician, and she would do these math consultations, where now she's doing them, you know, online. You know, it saves a lot of money, saves a lot of travel and energy. Of course we all want to get outside, but, but yeah, I mean, it, you know, the future is here. And we've had this technology for a while, and now we're just all beginning to learn how to really utilize it, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you that regardless of what happens in the future as far as states and countries opening back up, it's still going to be a long time before anything feels remotely like it was before this all happened. It's going to be slow on a couple fronts, you know? Everyone's going to be trying to get gigs at the same time, so it's going to be hard to get a gig. Mm. And also trying to see, I think people are going to be hesitant to want to get together in large groups for a while. But so it makes sense for artists to really dive in and learn how to go live and be effective and do what they can to connect with people through the live stream aspect of these platforms. So you said you were using Zoom and you enjoyed being able to see the people, but there were some tips on how to make it sound good. What are those tips?
Yeah, so absolutely. So like, and what you're going to want to do, and I didn't see the advanced sound settings until I actually paid for a subscription. But what you definitely want to do is if you have the capability, if you already have an audio interface for recording or podcasting or whatever, you're going to want to set your audio settings to that interface. And then there are a couple of boxes, and you know what? Actually, I could open it up and just kind of talk it through, because some of that stuff is not by memory, but it's basically disabling a few things. And let me just open it real quick. I don't think this will mess us up. but yeah, in the meantime, while that's happening, okay, here it is. Cool. Opened up already. So like when you get into Zoom, at the bottom left, there's that microphone option. You're going to want to select whatever microphone you've got or whatever audio interface that you have. And then you want to go to audio settings. Once you're in that part of it, you're going to want to uncheck the automatically adjust microphone volume, which is key, because it's basically got some sort of like compressor or limiter on the mic there. And then you want to go to your advanced settings. And once you're in there, you want to suppress your persistent background noise. You want to disable that because it's, I think it's set to auto when you first get on. And you also want to disable, suppress intermittent background noise. Those two things are pretty key. And why that is because for a normal meeting, you know, you don't want to hear somebody with a leaf blower outside your house or anything. So it's basically compressing background noise. And as a musician, you want your breathing, your dynamics of music to come through. So you definitely want to disable those. And then the third one under that, echo cancellation, just leave that on auto. That's not a big deal. And then one of the most important things is you want to go to the top left corner and you want to click turn off, or actually you want to turn on the original sound of what you're wiring in. So those three things are super key to getting a good sound on Zoom. And I've done a lot of Zoom parties where like the other musicians, I guess, don't know those tricks. And it's quite a difference because you will get like a warbly kind of sound is how I express it. It's like, you know, it sounds like it's underwater practically, and just not very good. Also, it has a tendency to distort. So when you're getting into professional gigs online, you want to sound and look your best. And those are tips for Zoom that I have for sure.
Now, that's a great, great tip, because we've been doing like for work on Thursdays, just to have FaceTime with people in the company. We've been doing virtual happy hours, and somebody has been DJing, and it sounds exactly like what you're talking about, all warbly. Sometimes it comes in and out. It just feels like there's something like really compressing it and trying to tweak it the whole time. Mm-hmm. And it's fighting it, and that's probably it. They just need to adjust the settings.
Yeah, totally. Totally right. I did a happy hour yesterday, and you know, I could tell you know, another musician didn't. And it's like you want to stop them and be like, yo, you know, I could tell the talent is there, you know. It's just, and it's super easy. But I will say though, I didn't see those particular settings until I paid for the subscription. You can definitely set your audio interface and definitely set your microphone and test those. But as far as the advanced settings, I couldn't find those. And now that I'm paying for it, I don't remember if it was available. So if you don't see it, it's that. And if you do see it, great. I guess I just paid for for the heck of it then. So
I would bet that you probably have to pay for it in order to see those settings.
I would also bet that there's going to be a software very soon that's going to do it for free, like a Facebook or something. And, you know, I think that's going to be the next competitive thing as far as software goes. You know, Zoom happened to be, you know, a favorite. And so it's kind of like how everybody jumped on Instagram when it was, you know. So we'll see what happens. I hear that there's a new one coming out called Gab. And apparently they already have like 2 million users. And you know, I'm always like you guys, just trying to listen for the next thing, and see if it's less expensive, better quality, whatnot, you know?
Yeah. Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you on the podcast is because you do have so many instruments running into your live stream at the same time.
Yes.
I've seen you perform multiple times and, you know, like you described, you have your drum machine, you're playing bass, you got loops going, and it's a lot of stuff. And a lot of the information about live streaming, I think, that is out there really caters to the person who's sitting in front of their computer or phone with an acoustic guitar singing a song.
Right, right.
So I wanted to get your tips for running all that stuff into the computer and getting the right levels, because that's, to me, what's tricky. It's hard to tell really what the levels are going to be like and how it's going to land on the other side of a live stream. So if you have any tips for all that, I would love to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so in my live setting, I actually pretty much have always been running through a mixer. So, you know, I've got my, I run my own sound. For example, like when I go to even a professional venue, like ACL Theater, I performed, opened up for GZA. I actually was running my own sound. And how I do that is I've got a simple Mackie mixer that I've had for a while. I really just, it's kind of a trusty mixer. And I run my guitar, I run my bass, I run my percussion, I run my vocals, and I run my drum machine and everything through this mixer and the audio interface that I use. So I was already used to mixing my sound. So, you know, it's a little practice for like a multi-instrumentalist. You just, you know, you kind of listen to it, you record it, you say, you know, the bass is too low, or the guitar is too hot, or the vocals are distorting. You know, it's a little bit of practice, but I definitely think that that is really the key. So you're mixing it just like you would your record, or you're mixing it just like you would your live performance. And you tend to see like what's happening on the meters. You know, you don't want to be hitting red, stay in that green and yellow, and you're good to go pretty much. You know, a quick tip, and I'll come back to this. If you are just a solo musician with an acoustic guitar and a microphone, there are some very simple solutions. I know iRig makes something that you can plug a guitar, like basically like two channels, you know, a guitar and a vocal. Or Roland makes this thing called a Roland Go Mixer, which is fairly good. And I used to use that stuff for DJ streams. So if you're a solo artist, I would strongly suggest that way. If you're a multi-instrumentalist, I definitely would say to go through a mixer and then to mix out into what you're trying to feed your live stream to.
So have you been trying to monetize your live streams, or what is your strategy behind what you're doing now with the live streaming?
So basically right now I'm building fans. And I'm not really, I mean, I put the link up there for Venmo and stuff, and then I took it down, and then I put it back up because there are people who genuinely want to tip you, and they feel like what you're doing is really like uplifted their day, you know? So I've got no problem with that. But it certainly wasn't like the premise of what I was doing. What I'm trying to do is basically build fanhood around the world, you know, and now's a great time, and even into the future, because like I went live the other day, I had friends all over the United States, but also like in Brazil and the Netherlands, and, you know, given their time zones that they're tuning in. And so I think that to me is more important than the money. You know, I've always been that kind of musician, though, because I think what happens is that people eventually, they remember you, they're going to tip like if they really like it. And also eventually, you know, you'll probably get better gigs. You'll probably get more gigs out of it. And that's exactly what happened to me. Like I was just doing it for free. And just this past week, you know, I got 3 hired gigs where they paid me a guarantee and they also tipped me and stuff. So I'm all about putting it out there. You know, Gary Vee style.
When you say hired gigs, you mean like hired live stream gigs?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. With nice guarantees, you know, because it's unique. And if you have your sound settings and your visual settings down, then you're in a whole different other field. You know, I mean, people want quality. So it's important to do the homework on it, but also to put yourself out there. I'm having a great time, like meeting a lot of people online, people I've never, you know, known before. So, yeah.
What kind of gigs were you getting?
So, like last week I had a few happy hour gigs. Like I said, I have one tonight. I had one yesterday. These happy hour gigs are basically like corporate parties. You know, the boss wants to throw a party for the employees and wants to let everybody know that he's thinking of them. And So they hire me for these things. I show up at their Zoom party with the settings I talked about earlier, and away we go, you know. And actually, the party I did yesterday, there were two other musicians, one with an acoustic guitar and one, it was a duet. And everybody's piped in their own way from their own studios, and away you go. And it's like a song swap, you know. And then they ask questions in the chat, and it's pretty cool. It lasts about an hour or so, and it's been real nice.
So in those situations, are you background music, or are you just, or is it like you're the featured thing and somebody's switching from artist to artist and everyone is just kind of hanging out in their Zoom world, chatting with the coworkers, listening to the music? Is that how it works?
Nah, yeah, it's totally up front. I mean, it's all about the music. There's, I suppose, you know, because Zoom has those chat rooms where basically people can, you know, go to the lounge area and go grab a drink or whatever. But for the most part, it is about the music. So everybody's muted and they watch the show and they're dancing in the windows, you know. It's like a funky Brady Bunch, you know, like people getting people jamming. And it's really cool because it's live, and that's the aesthetic that we all miss. So like they're clapping at the end of the songs. They unmute when the song's over so you can actually hear people's comments and stuff. And well, you know how Zoom is, like when one person's talking, it kind of highlights the box and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's been super cool. And those kind of things have really kept me going and pursuing how to get even better and better streams. By the time this releases, I'm actually going to be throwing a Zoom party where I'm going to be performing and DJing. And I've already got like 50 people on the link locally, but like my goal is to have several hundred, you know, because I've paid for that subscription in Zoom. So, and if Facebook is free, I might go there, you know, but what my goal is to have this sort of virtual party happening. And, you know, that's kind of the key for right now, you know, and like I said, it brings me joy. Always has, especially with funk music. It's all about like uplift and dance and party and that kind of thing. So it brings me joy to see people smiling for the hour or whatnot, and which is different from just a basic live stream. So
have you thought about charging tickets for that Zoom party?
I have. But what I think I'm going to do is I'm going to do the free and then suggest a donation. Because it would, you know, there are a lot of people that are struggling too. So that's one of the reasons why I've always, you know, I thought, you know, everybody's kind of, well, you know, we've heard it a million times, in this together. So it's like, I want to offer this, and I want them to know that, like, you know, there's somebody out here that's trying to have a party for you. And what I'll say about that, Kevin, is that like I've had tips of like $100, $200, $50, like, people will tip because they genuinely feel like what you're doing is a service. And that's much cooler than charging a $5 ticket, you know?
I'm asking partly because I'm curious what artists are feeling and seeing and thinking around that idea. I know a lot of platforms are rushing, trying to like, oh, here, we're going to solve the problem for you. Now you can charge tickets for live streams. And I'm like, well, I don't think what the fans or music fans in general are feeling about the live stream is the same feeling or motivations and things they think about a live show when they're going out to a club or a venue and buying a ticket. And I'm not sure it's the same thing. And a lot of people are trying to solve the problem as if it is the same thing. So I'm just kind of curious to hear what artists are feeling and thinking and kind of the impression they're getting from their community.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that eventually when things, you know, if you're going to be hosting something very special, like a record release, for example, or something where, you know, you may consider like shipping them a record or some you know, some merch or something, you know, there are a lot of ways to monetize what you're doing. But for me, like personally, I think that to offer something of value, you know, for free is kind of, you know, I tend to talk about Gary Vee a lot because, you know, he's kind of the one that really cracked that open. Like, you know, and you see how popular he is. And like, if you can think of it that way, you know, you offer your offering and the rewards come in. I mean, it really is a beautiful thing. It's all about being human. And, you know, of course, this is just my opinion, obviously. So, you know, if you have the fans that are dying to pay a ticket price to help you out, then so be it. You know, do it however it works for you. For me, I'm just trying to get as much of the world involved, dropping by my streams, and then we'll go from there. You know, we kind of grow together. So,
what tips do you have for artists that are trying to dive into the live streaming world, or tips or mistakes you've made, or mistakes you've seen other artists making? Just what you got?
So yeah, so like I said, so I started live streaming early last year, 2019, and along the way there have been several hiccups, particularly with like latency. You know, you had to figure out your processor speed of your laptop, and you know, what I'll say is that it really does start. Here's an important tip. It really does start with your internet connection. Like, if you're gonna be serious about doing some professional live streams, you're going to want to hook up via Ethernet. You're not gonna want to do it Wi-Fi. It's night and day when it comes to that. For a lot of reasons, you'll definitely get more glitch of a stream if you're just doing it through Wi-Fi. Now, if you're doing it through your phone, that's one thing. And if you're just, you know, streaming to say hello and you've got your guitar and you're sitting outside by a tree or something, that's a whole nother thing. What I'm talking about is professional quality streams. And you definitely want to, have a solid internet connection. You may want to call your provider and up that. So that was the first thing I did. I upped it to the max that I could get at my house. And then I, wired it direct into my laptop. And with that, I had to get a converter, because these new Macs, like all they have is lightning, lightning connections and stuff.
So, yes, I've got converters sitting all around my computer right now.
Right. Until next year's model, right? They were like, oh, right. Okay. But so you're going to want to do all that. You're going to want to do that. And then I use a software that's free called OBS. They also have a Streamlabs version, which is a much more sexy version for gamers. But it's got some unique things, especially if you're going to go live on Twitch, like a tip jar that I think is pretty cool, that kind of works within the software. But I mean, there's also different live stream platforms that you can go through. And, I think it's important to find your niche, right? It's important to find like where your fans are, just like it is for streaming. Some fans are on Spotify, some on Apple. You know, you got to figure out if your fans are on Instagram, Facebook, where they're YouTube, where are your fans? And then go from there and experiment a lot. I've done a lot of experimenting, meaning I'll move from platform to platform. I'll try different time zones. I'll try different audio settings, different visual settings. And then eventually one day it all kind of clicks.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that we've been recommending to artists. It's like, this is like its own separate art form. It's going to take some time to get used to. You're going to have to do some trial and error and experimenting. And it might feel awkward for a while, but it's going to be something you're going to need to do in order to really get good at it and figure out what's going to be the sweet spot for you.
Yeah. And like, shout out to Chris, because for one, congratulations. I saw he raised like $9,000 on his 8-hour stream. That's amazing. And you know what? I refer to him because one thing he always said is just press the button, you know, go live. And I think it's so key. You're gonna screw up, man. I mean, you know, you just be ready. And it's kind of funny, and you can laugh about it. And actually, your fans and friends, like, they love the genuine side of it. So if it's screwing up or whatever, just know that you can do it again later. You're only gonna fail forward, right? So just keep going.
That's right. So, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like Facebook's not going to let you have another gig.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. He messed up that last one to scratch.
No more live streaming for you.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and just keep doing it. Other than that, though, I would definitely say I've broken it down to a couple of different key elements. For sound, you're going to want to probably go through an audio interface more than not, of course. And for visuals, you're going to want to get yourself a decent webcam. Or if you have like a DSLR camera, you can also connect that to your laptop. Or there's a lot of different ways you can do the visuals. But I suggest that if you're serious and you want to, you know, want to stand or rise to the top, that, you know, you work on your visuals and you work on your audio. And truth be told, if it looks bad, but it sounds great, you're definitely going to have people hanging in there. If it sounds bad and it looks great, they're not going to hang because nobody can deal with terrible audio. So maybe start there, you know, maybe definitely focus on your audio first and then work on your visual.
Yeah, I'd agree 100%. You know, I've seen live streams come down my feed and I'll click on them and the visual is terrible, but it's live. It's happening now. I'll click on it. Okay. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And if it sounds terrible, I'm gone. If it sounds good, even though the visual is awkward looking or maybe not great, I might hang for a bit.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, that no one wants to hear like distorted, screechy audio. That's not good no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, you can't really hang with it, you know, just, yeah. The human ear is like, ugh, no way. And it's so funny how fickle we are. Like you tap into it, like you just said, and you're like, oh no, it's like, I'm in, I'm out. But you know,
yeah.
But even if it's like marginal quality or whatever, I'll hang. Cause like, I'm really enjoying seeing a lot of my friends go live. Yeah, I never got to see a lot of their shows. I mean, we're so busy as musicians, you know, constantly gigging or working on booking or working on songwriting or recording, that this is an interesting time to like tap in and go, yo, what's up, you know? And I'm enjoying that part of it. I've definitely dropped into Chris's a few times. And his daughter is like singing and stuff. And it's adorable. That's awesome.
Yeah. So since you've been live streaming since last year, you said 2019, so that was last year. Yep. It feels like 2019 was ages ago at this point. But how have you felt like things have changed since the whole pandemic has happened? I know obviously you're getting virtual happy hour gigs. That's pretty cool. But have you felt like people's view, whether it be the audience or the fan community or the artist community, have you felt like their reception to live streams changed or their perception of it or how people are viewing these things is different or has it felt the same?
I would say it's absolutely different because like everybody is streaming and I mean, you've got, you know, yoga, you've got cooking, you've got artists that are they're painting or creating or quilting. Or, you know, you've got it all going on. So there's a lot of saturation and to stand above. And that's why I keep saying, I don't mean, you know, to dominate the scene or anything. I just mean, to, you know, to stand apart from the standard quality of streams is important, you know, because you're bringing a show. And as far as viewership goes, it is definitely spiked. A lot of people are, you know, at home and they're looking for some entertainment and it's a great time really to be networking. You know, it's really kept my mind off of the pandemic for sure, because, you know, it's a great time to be reaching out to people and saying, hey, I offer this, you know, I offer virtual happy hours or whatnot. So I've been networking quite a bit, but yeah, to answer your question, definitely the viewership is spiked. People are hanging on there longer. You know, they're watching the whole show. I usually do about an hour, you know, on a daily, and they're tapping into it. So, and hanging for the whole time. Whereas before it was like, you know, yeah, I'll watch a little bit, but you know, I was getting ready to go out anyways. Right. So you know, it's an audience that definitely is looking to be entertained, and they're stuck at home and they don't just want to watch television. You know, they just, listening to records is great. But, you know, I've seen some of the live streams that even like the, you know, the Grammys and people have put on that are very similar to some of the quality of people that are streaming from their homes. So, you know, that being said, you have every opportunity, since the playing field has been somewhat leveled, to really get your music out there.
Yeah, that's one thing I would definitely say, is that it feels like for the independent artist community and artists that are, you know, trying to grow and build an audience, that it really has leveled the playing field. Because in fact, in some cases, I think the indies have the advantage, because a lot of indies have been trying these tactics and these strategies and ways to connect and engage with people online, because we've had to. We don't have budgets to go out and buy a bunch of market share and advertising and all that kind of stuff. Right. So we have to look at people online and say, how can I connect with you? Here's what I can do. And so I feel like, based on what I've seen with some of the major label artists, like trying to do live streams from home, that the indie community has got this down a lot better already.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus we were always, you know, underdog fighters, right? So it's like, I mean, the hustle is real. I mean, we're coming out the gate like, oh yeah, okay, so now is the time. And, you know, you're definitely networking. You're definitely getting it out there. I mean, it is really the time to focus on getting your music out there more than ever. It's not a time to relax or, you know, maybe chill or worry about anything else. If you're a serious musician, you got to be hustling right now, because it is the time to really reach out to people and say, this is what I do, this is who I am, you know, please join in the fun, you know?
I agree. We always talk about how people are so distracted and have so much busyness in their life. There's, you know, people have talked about that we've had at peak attention, where people just don't have any more space to give anything else attention, and all that broke with this pandemic. So people are at home with more attention span than they'll have probably in our lifetime. And if you're not out there, if you're not out there trying to get music out there when people are like, I am so bored, I have so much time now, you got to do it. Because yeah, it's not going to be this way, hopefully, ever again in my lifetime.
Well, since the pandemic, and I'm now on episode 30. I'm just about to hit 30. I've written more songs than ever. So on my love stream, I work on an idea during the day, and then I kind of not complete it, but I make it where it's audibly like entertaining for almost an hour, and I'm actually working on music. So I'm producing all this music for a few albums to come up this year. And like the next phase, of course, is, you know, the actual production of it, like getting into the studio and tweaking and recording and everything else. But these ideas I'm sketching are live. And it's been this kind of like entertaining thing for a lot of the music community that I know. And like I said, you know, people around the world that are tuning in. And so, yeah, I mean, whatever you want to do, do it. And do it well and get it out there, because it is now, and it's here. I mean, the future's here. I can't say it enough. I mean, we're definitely here.
Well, where can people find out more about you and what you're doing and your music?
Okay. Yeah. So, I go live, pretty much every evening, Monday through Friday, 9 PM on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/HenryInvisible. And all my links are Henry Invisible. My Instagram is Henry Invisible. I still have music as Henry plus the Invisibles on Spotify, Apple, Google. But being signed, now I'm going to be releasing under Henry Invisible. So my website is henryinvisible.com. And yeah, I mean, please stop by. I'd love to see you. And if you do, you know, mention that you saw me on the, or heard me on the CD Baby podcast. I'd love to connect with you, because, you know, And also, if people want to reach out to me specifically about certain questions about streaming, you can email me at henryinvisibles@gmail.com or booking at henryinvisible.com or whatever. I'm here. Yeah, because, you know, I think if we can raise quality up together, then we can definitely enjoy some good streams. And I certainly want to hear them and see them. So.
Excellent. Well, I've been checking yours out because you're in Central Time and you go on at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's like right after dinner here, I pop open Facebook and there you are.
I'm going to say, hi, Kevin. Next time I there's Kevin right there. It's you know, it's been super cool. And
yeah.
And on the contest tip, I would definitely say the key to that has been just also the quality of the video you send in. Read the guidelines, you know.
That always helps.
Don't do anything they didn't ask for. And certainly keep it short, sweet. And then there's that little bit of luck that's involved. You know, timing is everything. And yeah, I mean, I've been pretty fortunate this year. And it was amazing. You know, by the way, Kevin, I'm sitting here with the drum kit. And I've got like the stuff that I won at the CD Baby podcast. And I cannot wait to attend the next conference. It's, man, I know you can't, but you know, and if you're a musician out there and you've been on the fence, I mean, please, it is the best investment you can do. Talk about networking with a bunch of like-minded musicians that are hungry to make it out there. It's a great networking opportunity. Definitely do it. It's the best 99 or whatever it is to go.
Well, I appreciate the plug.
Yes, sir. You know it.
All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Henry.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'll hopefully see you in Austin, and I know I'll see you online soon. So,
yeah, brother. Well,
take it easy.
Yeah, take care. Take care of you and all your loved ones, and many blessings. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. Definitely check out one of Henry Invisible's live streams. He's doing it often, and you might see me poke my head in there once in a while and listen to a few songs. I've checked him out on multiple occasions, and he does a fantastic job. Just in the event that you didn't catch it at the beginning of the podcast, we have made the sad decision to cancel the 2020 DIY Musician Conference in Austin. But don't worry, we've already scheduled 2021. It's still going to be in Austin, August 27th through 29th. That's August 2021. And if you head on over to DIYMusicianCon.com, you can get all the information. And you never know. We might do some special event or pop up somewhere this fall when it's safe to travel and try some smaller events. But that's the decision that we had to make. And so just want to make sure you're aware. And I'm going to miss you. But more podcasts are on the way, and we will catch you then. See ya. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.